Praise God. Good to be in his house today. It's lovely to have you all with us. And this morning, I want to share a word with you about faith. I want you to think about if you wanted to build something in the United Kingdom, what would you need? You would need pounds sterling, wouldn't you? But if you were in the USA, you would need dollars. If you wanted to build something in Germany, you would need euros. Now, we are in the kingdom of God. We need the currency of heaven for what God wants us to build here in Livingston. And that currency is faith. More than anything else, we need faith. We need faith. Somebody said that faith is a bit like tea, and I thought, that sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? But from the perspective that there's different kinds of tea in different stages, faith is like that. When we read the scriptures, there's all different kinds of faith. But if you think about tea, you can look at all different trees that produce these leaves that you make tea from. And all these different trees, you can say, well, that's tea. But then when you go into the warehouse where they store the leaves, you would say, well, that's tea. And then when you go into the factory where they put them in the tea bag, you would say, that's tea. And when you open up your kitchen cupboard, you would say, well, that's tea in there. And when you sit with your cup, you say, well, that's tea. So faith is like that in the way that it comes in all different forms. So faith, well, there's natural faith. You sat down on a chair, so you had faith that that chair would take your weight, so you sat down without worrying. If you got into a car this morning, you had faith that that car would take you from A to B. When you put the kettle on and you switched on the electricity, you had faith that that electricity would go into the kettle and you could boil your water. Actually, you don't really need to know, do you, how the electricity brings the water to boil. You don't need to know how it works. But you believe that it works, and so you get the result. Faith is like that. Faith is like that. The scripture says the farmer, he puts a seed into the ground. He doesn't need to know exactly how a seed then eventually becomes barley or wheat. But he puts it in and he has faith and he knows it's going to produce. And faith is like that. That is faith in the natural, knowing that the chair is going to hold you up. But in the spiritual, we need faith. One day, I was down at Morrison and I bumped into this lady that we used to work together many years before. And she said, oh, how are you doing? How are you doing? What are you doing now? So I told her, we are running a church. Oh, she said, it's all right for you. You know, you have faith. I don't have any faith. I said, actually, that's not true. Do you know it's not true? If you say that you have no faith, that is not true. Because the Bible says, you can look it up, Romans 12:3. If you bring that up, it says there that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You've been given a measure of faith. It's deep inside you. Maybe you've never exercised it, but it's there. That's what God says. He's given everyone a measure of faith. And faith is like muscles. You know, if you exercise, your muscles will get stronger. Huh? If you never use them, it'll be pretty weak. But everybody's been given a measure of faith. And as a church and as a body of believers, we need faith more than anything. Why? Because of the days that we live in and what God wants to do. God wants to do some really great, miraculous things. We need faith for that. He works through faith. He works through the body in faith. Now, let me start first with what we call saving faith. How can you be born again? How can you enter from darkness into light? We were singing the song where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except from me. That's what Jesus said. So Jesus is the way. And the way in is by believing in him. Let's just look at John 16, verses 7 through 10. This is in the New Living. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. If I do not go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Here we have Jesus speaking, saying, the world's sin is that they refuse to believe in me. Very often when we think about sin, we think, oh, somebody committed murder, somebody said really nasty words. Yes, these are all sins. But the root cause of all sin is refusing to believe in Jesus. The root cause. Why do some people end up in hell? Why? Jesus says, they refuse to believe in me. That is the root cause. That is the root cause. Not believing in Jesus. That is being in unbelief. So how do you get born again? By believing. Let's look at Romans 10. 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you're saved. And if you go down to verse 13, it says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you call on the name of the Lord, if you believe in your heart that he died on the cross for your sin and he rose on the third day, if you believe it and you confess it, the scripture says you shall be saved. It doesn't come by feeling. Different people have different experience and different levels. Feelings can go up and down. But God says in his word that Jesus is the way. And Jesus says, if you believe in me, if you believe in me, it's a decision you make. Yes, I will believe. You make a decision to believe in him. And the well-known verses from John chapter 3, starting from verse 16. You need to hear this. You need to hear this in your heart. For God loved the world. That's you. Put your name in there. For God loved Mary. Put your name in there. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. So that everyone who believes in him, that's in Jesus, will not perish but have ever eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe him has already been judged for not believing God's one and only Son. Jesus is calling on you today. I love the verses from Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Jesus wants to be your best friend. He wants to have fellowship with you. When he says we'll share a meal, this is talking about intimacy, isn't it? You share a meal with people that you know. You share a meal with your family. It's intimate. Jesus wants to be intimate with you. He's knocking at the door. I was listening to J. John's testimony before he got born again. Somebody read that scripture to him and he was like, How can I possibly open the door? I don't understand it. And his friend said to him, why don't you call on Jesus and ask Jesus to knock the door down? And he said, Jesus, come and knock my door down. I don't know how to open it. He said, he came in. He could feel the peace and the love. You see, the kingdom of God is different from the things in the natural world. The scripture says that the kingdom of God is righteousness. Righteousness is being right with God. Righteousness and then peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I remember as clear as anything that day when I took that first step to say, Jesus, I believe in you. I really didn't understand. Honestly, I didn't understand what was happening. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I understand that now. It is the Holy Spirit that speaks to you. You cannot be born again without the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that makes it clear inside of you that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals that. And as you respond and open your heart, that is the work again of the Holy Spirit. You don't believe because someone else tells you. You believe because the Holy Spirit convicts you in your heart. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. I remember that day. And I was a young person. And the place was full of, at the time I thought, these are really ancient people, these ones. They were all so old because I was so young. And then they said, if you want to commit your life to Jesus, you walk front, come to the front. And my heart was going, boom, 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 boom. I felt the calling of God. I didn't understand. I really didn't understand the gospel. But I knew that God was in the place. I knew that God was real. And I knew I was in trouble. I knew that one day I would have to stand before the living God, the Creator, and be accountable for my life. And I thought, what will I say? What will I say? Because I knew there was sin in my life. I knew I was in trouble. And I knew that only God could save me. You see? And it was a decision. And I was torn inside because I thought, okay, if I become a Christian, I'm not going to have any friends because I don't know anyone in my school that say they're Christians. And then I thought, well, on the other hand, when I stand before God, those people at school are not going to be able to help me one bit. They are not going to be able to help me. I have to make a decision. I finally got to my feet and I walked forward. I walked forward. It was a way of saying, God, I want you. God, I need you. God, I surrender to you. It's a decision we make, you see. Jesus said, I'm knocking on your door. You make a decision to open up and let Jesus in. You recognize he is the only one that can save. You recognize that Jesus died on that cross for you. That's a decision you make. You can make that decision now. No one else can make it for you. His arms are wide open. Why do you think Jesus died with his arms stretched out? Why do you think that was the way he died? It was to speak to you today to say his arms are wide open for you. He is waiting for you to come. He's waiting for you. You exercise your faith by saying, yes, I believe this. Yes, I believe, Jesus, you are real. I believe you died for me. And then you surrender your life to him. He's the one that comes and washes away your sin and forgives you. He can forgive you all your sin. He's paid the price. Why don't you make that decision? Why don't we all just bow our heads? Just bow all our heads now. What's it going to be? What's your decision? Why don't you open up the door to your heart and say, Jesus, please come in. just say a simple prayer. Just say, Father God, I come to you. I open my door. Jesus, would you come in? Would you forgive me my sin? I believe you died for me. I believe that you rose again. I put my trust in you. I surrender to you. I give myself to you this day. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior, I pray. In the name of Jesus. If you've said that prayer from your heart, meaning it with all of your heart, the scripture says, you shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He has come in. This is the beginning of your faith walk with the Lord. Praise God. God is good. You can open your eyes. Now in the scripture, we read so much about faith. And I just want to speak for a little bit longer about the gift of faith that we read about in Corinthians. You know, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and we'll go verse 8, 9 and 10. You can put that up. This is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. That's the gift of faith. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what's been said. Here we have the 9 gifts of the Spirit. The third one down is the gift of faith. Always remember many years ago listening to a well-known preacher in Florida. His name is Rodney Howard Brown. He's actually originally from South Africa, but he was talking about how God called him to put on a big evangelistic campaign downtown New York in New York State. And it was going to cost a phenomenal amount because it's a really expensive place. And he talked about how God gave him the gift of faith. The gift of faith. So that he was able with his team to go in, and they had a tremendous evangelistic campaign where many, many, many people came to know the Lord. So if you're going to achieve significant things, and as a church, we have prophetic words and God's calling us to significant things in Livingston. We are here to bring the light of God to Livingston. For that, we need the gift of faith. We need the gift of faith. And I remember he said, out of all the gift of faith is the one we really, really need. Because it's the currency of the kingdom. We need it for the next step. Now, remember there are gifts. Faith can also be, is also in scripture, the fruit of the Spirit. So there's the gift and then there's the fruit. Not to be mixed up. But yes, faith will still operate in the same way. Here is a way I heard it, I think makes the difference between a gift of the Spirit and then the fruit of the Spirit. There's a difference between the apple tree and the Christmas tree, right? The apple tree has got fruit on it. The apples, they don't come there instantly. The apple tree, it grows and it grows and then it gets the flower and then eventually develops a small piece and then eventually it matures and you get apples on it. That is a slow maturing process that produces the fruit of faith. The Christmas tree doesn't produce any fruit at all. But in one instant, someone puts a gift under it. You've got a gift. Instantly it's there. Just a gift. Just a gift. Sometimes we can be so impressed with the gifts of the Spirit that we forget. We can be impressed with the person that's operating in it, but we must not be impressed with that. We need to be impressed by the giver, don't we? I'll give you an example from the natural. One of my sisters is an excellent knitter. She can knit some beautiful jumpers, and people are like, wow, that's totally amazing, absolutely beautiful. Now, when you see this knitted jumper, if I'm wearing it, don't be impressed with me, I'm just wearing it. You should be asking me who designed it and who made it. That's who you're impressed with. The person that designed it and made it, not the one that's wearing it. And so it is with the gift of the Spirit. It's the one that designed it and made it that impresses us, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? So let's not, you know, be focusing on the persons, but let's be focusing on the giver. So that's the difference between the gift of faith and the faith that comes, that matures slowly as the fruit of the Spirit. So it's a different kinds. Because faith, when it's the fruit of the Spirit, is relating to our character. And it grows over time. It grows over time. It's not just received. But the gift of faith is imparted supernaturally by the Holy Spirit in that instant that we need it. If we go to Mark 11, verses 21 to 10, 23, Peter remembered what Jesus said to the tree on the previous day. Remember, Jesus had cursed the tree. And exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." And Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart." They were so amazed because Jesus had spoken the day before to the fig tree, and then when they walked past it, it was totally dead. The words of Jesus, it happened. The words of Jesus, it happened. The gift of faith was operating. Jesus spoke the words and it came into being supernaturally, done by God. Matthew 17:20. This is when the disciples came back to Jesus and they had been unsuccessful in their particular deliverance. And Jesus said to them, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." And as we know, the mustard seed is a really, really tiny, 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 small seed. But if it's God's faith, it will happen. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. It's the faith of God. The gift of faith is in that instant that the Holy Spirit puts that faith, the faith of God, in your heart, in my heart. And we believe and then God moves. It is the Holy Spirit that's doing it. This is why it's so important that we are together as a body of believers. Something happens in the anointing. Something happens when we're together as believers and the Holy Spirit works. Something really unique in that situation. Why do you think people travel sometimes thousands of miles to particular meetings? It's because they know there's a specific anointing there. There's something and God is doing something particular there. And when you go into that kind of atmosphere, healings are suddenly easy. Miracles are easy. The gifts of the Spirit are operating. That's why it's important that we always gather together. The gift of faith. I'm giving you just some small examples, just some very small examples. I remember listening to Oral Roberts talking and teaching about the gift of faith, how it comes upon you and it happens. And I was sitting watching him on the TV screen, and I looked down on my arm, and there was an ugly mole. And the gift of faith came. And I just looked at that mole and I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to swallow up and die. I just looked at it and just said it. I had faith in my heart. Just like that, the faith came because I'm listening to the man of God and the faith just came in my heart. Next day or two, it was in the bathroom. The whole thing fell off. It just fell off. It fell off. It's the gift of faith. It can come on you just like that. That's why you've got to act. You've got to be in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit and act when God speaks. Afterwards, you go back to your normal level of faith, which is the fruit of the Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can have the supernatural faith of God. God is doing it. We are not doing it. God is doing it. How wonderful are the gifts of the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. How wonderful. How wonderful. Another example from my own lives was, remember when we used to meet together and we were in the upper room in Craig's Hill, and it was like in a gymnasium building. And then they told us that we had to leave. They were basically kicking us out. And I'm saying, God, what's going on here? How can they kick us out when you put us here? I mean, it's not right. And I'm listening to the audio Bible, and we get to Mark chapter 14. This is when Jesus was given the instructions to the disciples just before they were going to have the Last Supper. And it's in Mark 14 verses 13 to 15. So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher says, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that's already set up. That is where you should prepare a meal. When I got to that verse 15, he should take you to the upper room, I thought, wow, God, there's there in the scripture that God has given us the upper room and is already set out for you. It just jumped. The gift of faith came in my heart, and I was believing for the upper room in Craig's Hill for the church. I just knew it. It was the gift of faith. Why? Because it was the word of God. We brought it to the church the next Sunday. I said, come on, let's all, if you want to believe with us, stand on your feet. Everybody stood up. Guess what? They still kicked us out. But then we got to know, it's a long story, I'll cut it short. We got to know this man who was the regeneration project lead for West Lothian Council. And in conversations, when we were telling him what services we provided, he said, where do you meet on a Sunday? We said, well, this is the problem. We've known blah, 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 blah. He said, what about this building? And he gave us the keys. He made us key holders for the council building, the library building. And he said, you use the upper room. And no, you don't need to set it up. We set it up. You say how you want it set up. It will be all set up for you. Just like the scripture says, that it will already be set up. Exactly as the word of God says. You see, that was the gift of faith. Exercise produces results, supernatural results. It is the gift from God. It is God that does it. How wonderful it is. God speaks. God speaks. We are now in this building. This was the result of not a scripture, but a prophetic word that God said, move central. I want you to move central, and there will be a building, and you will do this, you will do this. And so we went and we looked and we decided to go through the door, and we said, can we rent this place? And Yeah, that's what they thought about us. They were probably a bit nuts. But the God opened the door and gave us favor. Gift of faith, you can act. It can be... So the gift of the Spirit, all of them are like interlinked. Somebody said, oh, that was the prophetic gift. Yes, because they all work together. But it's the same Spirit. This is what Paul writes. It's the same Spirit. Some people say, yeah, that was the gift of prophecy. It was the gift of prophecy together with the gift of faith. Because if somebody gives a prophetic word but nobody has faith, it's going to fall flat. You have to activate it by faith. So these gifts are all interlinked. It's like a chain. They all work together. They all work together. Now, we cannot make the gifts of the Spirit come. We can't produce it. But we can prepare ourselves and make ourselves ready to receive. You following me? You want to be ready to receive?
Yes.
You want to receive? Yes, we all want to do that. How do we do that? We need to empty ourselves of negatives. Empty yourselves of negatives. Don't go there anymore. You know, you don't allow those negative things to dwell anymore. You want to be filled with God and let the doubt go. It's not something that we work up to, because the gift of faith, when it comes, you flow with it and you speak with authority. It's a gift of God doing something. It's supernatural. It's by the Holy Spirit. We function in unlimited when the Holy Ghost comes on us. It's different from things like the working of miracles when God works through us. But God does the supernatural. We've read it there in 1 Corinthians 12:9. The same Spirit gives great faith. Great faith. So we want to position ourselves to be ready to receive. We want to have pure hearts, because pure hearts go together with pure faith. A pure heart. So we want to constantly walk close to the Lord and say, Lord, come and we were singing, wash away. I thought that was a beautiful song James led us in. The blood of Jesus washes away all of our sin. We want our lives to be in alignment with God's word. We want to live holy lives. You know the scripture. So come on, sort out your life. Live according to the word. Don't compromise anymore. We want to be used by God. We can't be living compromised lives, continuing in sin when we know it's wrong. No, you sort it out. You come before God. You ask Him to cleanse you. You ask Him to give you the strength. And so step by step, sanctification is a step by step by step. So we want to position ourselves with open hearts, with pure hearts, so that God can use us in all the gifts of the Spirit. We want all the gifts of the Spirit to be operating. Just this morning, we are focusing on the gift of faith, which is so powerful, so beautiful. It leads us, it gives us in that moment the faith of God, the faith of God to move mountains. Because what Jesus said to the disciples, if you don't doubt, no doubt. And when the gift of faith comes, then there's no doubt. There's no doubt, because it's supernatural. It is by the Holy Spirit. So let's open our hearts to receive from Him this morning. Let's bow our heads as we close this message. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bow before You. And we acknowledge that You are the giver of all these gifts. We open our hearts afresh to receive from You, that Your kingdom will truly come here to build that which You have purposed for Livingston and for West Lothian. So, Father, we surrender afresh to You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.